Welcome to Real Talk Love Therapy. I'm Eli.
I'm Daisha.
Where we cut the bullshit, challenge stereotypes of what love looks like for the millennial age. I think I this week's episode, can career-driven people have it all?
Shout out time. We have to give a shout out to Max Iglesias. We have to give our shout out to Rosario Solano, Patrick McMurray, Crystal LeBlanc. Thank you so much for pledging, keeping this going. If you want to be a part of the shout out club, patreon.com/realtalklovetherapy.
Hey y'all. So
you need more energy than that. That was so sad.
Hey y'all.
Like, who hurt you? What's up? Did you go on a bad date this week, Daisha?
No.
You don't have to express yourself on the couch.
It's because we've gone through so many trials and tribulations to fucking name this episode. I'm already exhausted.
It was like 5 minutes.
Anyway, hello, y'all. Sorry. So this week on the couch, we have a BuzzFeed, a well-known BuzzFeed entity. Sorry, I don't know how to speak right now. But
entity? You said that like I'm a spooky specter with chains hanging off of me. I'm a man.
So on the couch, we have a very dear friend of mine who has taken the world by storm with...
That was the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't
you
know
you don't deserve it.
I didn't know you considered a dear friend. Wow.
Yeah, Ryan, why wouldn't I consider you a dear friend? I'm guessing I see how you feel about me now.
I would consider you a dear friend, but I've never seen your mouth move and then nice things come out of it. It's like a weird
what?
Thing.
Thank you so much,
it's
Ryan.
It's a strange
happy Ryan Bugar is on the show. So
up.
We can get some validation
for
all these episodes.
Are you
so
fucking
nice.
Kidding me?
Also, I really do like your apartment. There's so much light reading on the walls everywhere. You must have like 50 frames on these walls. Like if you can
thank
see.
Thank you.
This isn't sarcastic though.
I dig
it.
Thank
I mean,
you.
It does, like, when I first walked in, I was like, oh, this is kind of a madman's den. But then, and then I started reading them, and I was like, holy shit, there is knowledge on these walls.
Thank
every
you.
Nook and cranny is
thank
just
you.
Crammed with knowledge.
Crammed.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's nice to have some validation
on
the couch.
Your feature script is covering your closet. What else do you have? Like, your three-part young adult novel is spread across somewhere. You got it all. You got it all here.
Yeah, I do. Thank you very much. All right, with your sarcasm.
I fear for an earthquake, though.
I do, too. I really do.
These frames.
Yeah. Oh, my
sweating.
God.
A tornado of glass shards will rip you apart.
This is a death trap.
This is a death trap.
But anyway, so Ryan is a very dear friend of mine. I don't know why you... Anyway, I'm not going to go into that. And Ryan is the host of a show that has literally, like, blown up BuzzFeed. I honestly think it's probably the reason why BuzzFeed is still relevant. But,
Admired.
Damn.
And that show is Test Friends.
Test Friends.
Yeah, try your health trends.
Just kidding. But Unsolved has become a really big part of BuzzFeed's brand. And I remember when literally it was Ryan and our good friend Brent that Ryan was just kind of like telling him a scary story for shits and giggles. And by episode 3, it literally blew up the BuzzFeed Blue channel and has blown up BuzzFeed Blue ever since and has now evolved into its own network, I hear.
Yeah, you're making me blush here. This is uncomfortable for me.
What? Yeah. I'm just stating facts.
Can you just say shut up or something? Like, I don't know, it just makes me feel more at home.
Oh. See, this is the thing. You guys like it when I talk shit to you. You guys try to act like, oh my gosh, Daisha's such an asshole.
We're just used to it.
But then the minute that I'm nice to you, it's all, oh God, I'm uncomfortable. Stop.
Well, we've just constantly had shit shoveled in our face to the point where, like, when I finally get a fresh breath of air, it's not that it's bad, it's just jarring. I'm like, oh shit, this is what air smells like. Wait a second. Maybe I like the shit. See, you know, it's like, it's you're not really sure.
This is already my favorite episode.
I literally cannot with the both of you. I'm already dead.
Yeah.
But on the note of that, Ryan, you created a whole lot. You've been doing hits forever. We've been knowing each other for a while. You did the, Mexican Try Taco Bell?
Yeah, and, Chinese People Try Panda Express.
And then this home run with Unsolved. I mean, you're really taking the internet by storm here. I'm sure, how taxing is that on you as far as your schedule goes? Like,
I'm
you
exhausted.
Create a whole lot.
Yeah, I'm exhausted.
Which kind of falls in line of our topic this week.
Oh, I like what you did there.
Yeah, you like that? You like that transition? Mm. Yeah, very nice.
I got tingles, so that was good.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Not in a sexual way, but like, oh, that was good. content.
But there's
you're
this...
giving Eli too much validation.
Thank you so much. Someone needs to. He understands what I have to deal with when it comes to you, and I have to do this every week. So
God.
I need someone to champion me.
Anyway. Yeah.
But anyway, there's this article that came out, and Daisha, who was the author? It was a
Randy Zuckerberg.
CEO, entrepreneur of, what was her, what did she create?
Wait, the guy who wrote the article's name is Randy Zuckerberg?
No, it's a female, and she's one of Mark Zuckerberg's siblings.
Okay, I was about to ask.
Yes, yes, yes. And I don't know what she started, but she used to be the former Facebook director of market development.
Yeah, so there's an article that came out, and she essentially said, and it hit me, I think earlier in the year when I saw it, and I was like, kind of sat with me, and I was like, damn, I actually wrote it down, was that... when it comes to life, I believe there's five things. There's your career, your health, sleep, family, and social life. Is that correct?
So work, sleep, family, fitness, or friends. Pick three.
Yeah, and then you have to pick three. There's no way you could have it all if you're going to, you have to have substantially do these things in your life, like to...
if you're going to be a very career-driven person.
Yes, if you're going to be a very career-driven person... You can't have all those things. You have to choose three. And I was really thinking about it, and I kind of I experimented a little bit with that, and I think there's some truth to it, in my opinion. And I'm glad we have Ryan Bagar here,
who's holding networks. He literally has pins of his face.
Okay,
right
wait
now.
A second. That was handed into, that was handed to me in a meeting before
this video.
And trust me, I was just as not thrilled about it as everyone else should be.
Ryan,
it's okay. Like you got, I mean, this is you're hitting the big times here. Look at he's wearing an unsolved shirt.
This is because I shot the postmortem today. I gotta wear the merch in the postmortem.
Right.
And this is the only shirt that doesn't have my stupid face
right,
on.
Right, right, right.
But so, then I had my face in my pockets.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks for dropping by.
I guess you could call me a pocket narcissist. I'm not a narcissist. I hate it. It's the worst.
Well, he hooked us up with some sweet Unsolved merch. Thank you so much,
Ryan, for coming down to the studio and blessing us with
pre-sale
He's
merch.
He's like, here's my face. Don't forget it.
I just bless everybody with pins of me now. Any interaction with me ends with a pin of my face or Shane's.
It's so funny now just because, like, I feel like, so when Ryan was coming up, he was like, oh, I have to pee. And I was like, oh, I'm surprised you didn't have your assistant holding a water bottle for you to collect your piss. Because we always joke about how now that he's taken over BuzzFeed that he has an assistant that...
It's a modest staff. It's like five assistants. It's not even
a
staff.
Yeah.
so modest.
I feel so lucky when I get to talk to him on the phone and not one of the five
assistants. What do you expect? You think I'm going to make my tea and coffee at the same time?
Oh, okay.
That's how it is now, big time.
Oh, excuse me over here. Yeah, blessing in my couch.
I wish I had an assistant. My assistant is Shane, I guess. And he doesn't do anything, so. Yeah.
So, Mr. P. Diddy of BuzzFeed, how do you feel about that Zuckerberg article? Do you think there's some truth to that? Like, you've been busy with that on the grind doing the damn thing.
Yeah, at risk of answering to P. Diddy of BuzzFeed. Because that maybe mean I murdered somebody. I don't know. I think he might have murdered Biggie Small. Anyway.
Throwback to...
Anyways. Oh, yeah, I you was were on, in that episode.
I was
Holy
on
shit.
An Unsolved episode.
That's a throwback.
Ryan and I go way, way back. I mean, also, Ryan... I think, were you ever an intern for me?
No, I can't imagine a day that's that sad.
Oh. Anyway, but Ryan and I were interns around the same time, and there was a possibility that he could have been an intern of mine, I can't remember. But we did Test Friends together.
We did do Test Friends together.
And then I was on an episode of Unsolved, so we go back.
Well, yeah, back to the question right here. The article? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think... Everybody has a different capacities. I do think it's possible to do all of those, but you can't do them all 100%. You gotta like divvy up yourself. I do think it's possible to have all of those. You just may not be the best at some of them, which is okay.
Is it though?
Is it okay?
To be honest, not really. I feel like
so then you can't.
Well, here's the thing. You can, but you're just not gonna. To be fair, most people who are successful, they're probably a little bit of an asshole. I mean, you kind of have to be.
Yeah.
That's just the truth.
I think that there's this sense of arrogance. I mean, especially if you're going to be an entrepreneur and create something. I mean, the key is confidence.
Well, to me, I think I'm curious about what you define being an asshole, because I think that there there are certain traits that I think are seen as assholey that aren't assholey, and then there's actually being a jerk.
Well, being an asshole would be, I think, maybe just, what's dick match?
Oh.
Dick match.
That must be what it sounds like, right?
Yeah.
Can't imagine that's like matching private detectives or something. Private eyes. She has a box board game here. If you guys are listening to this, if this makes it in, I don't know why it would, but she has a board game here that's called Dick Match with an exclamation point at the end.
Yes.
Don't know why there's an exclamation.
To really emphasize that you're
I guess like if you dicks. Are gonna play Dick Match, it's not like oh, we should play Dick Match. It's like Dick Match. Let's play Dick Match.
Is it two dicks fighting each other in a match, or you're matching dicks?
What do you think it could be?
I don't know. How hard is it to match dicks? Is it multiple photos of the same dick in different lighting, or what is...
It could be two people named Richard playing as well.
That's very true.
Or two private eyes, or right. just or just two penises in a room.
Right, right, right.
It could be anything.
So it's memory, but it's memory with dicks.
Oh, not a lot of nuance to that game.
Memory game. Gotcha. Okay. I thought you had to find the same dick.
Yeah, I don't like looking at dicks.
I've noticed that. I've played with guys that get very insecure. I made two guys play for my
birthday. Oh, it's not insecurity. It's just dicks are ugly. It's just like, no one's like stoked to see a dick.
Yeah, no, it's
like,
gross.
It's just very sad.
Well, how do you think we feel?
I don't envy you. Every time I just like, man, that must be the worst.
Well, we talked about that with Curly. He loves seeing the dicks. So
well, good for him, man. You know, we need more of people like Curly, I guess, then, right?
Someone needs to like to see these.
Yeah. Poor bastards, because I sure as hell don't.
All right,
and there's nothing against that. All right,
back to the topic at hand. What do you see as being an asshole?
I think relationships was one of those. Was relationships.
Well, I feel like
family and friends. I think most people they seem to maybe get rid of those, like not maybe commit to those two as much.
Fuck your family.
It seems like that. I mean, I just like. It's the reason why I say that is because those are the only ones that have external influence on you. You know what I'm like? Those other people's time comes into the equation.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas work, sleep, and fitness, for the most part, are dictated by you, especially if you're an entrepreneur for work.
Got it.
Whereas family and friends, their schedules come into play. And a lot of times when you're so focused on the other three, you don't really have time or don't care about the schedules of other people. So mm-hmm. I feel like for the most part... Like, granted, there are exceptions, I feel like. Like, I really take family and friends and relationships with people very seriously. So I would say for me, I compromise on sleep.
Mm. Which is funny, because you did do that sleep video.
Yeah, I don't get a lot of sleep.
How much sleep do you get?
Like 4 hours.
Damn.
It's very unhealthy.
Yeah, it sucks. Yeah. That's why I always have perpetual bags stuck under my eyes.
Oh.
Yeah,
no.
Underside of my eyes just look like a ball sack all the time.
Got two slinging ball sacks.
I just got two giant sacks under my eyes. Anyways, let's play dick match.
So you would sacrifice sleep to spend a couple more hours with your lady?
Yeah.
Well, what I think is interesting about this, too, is that you can tell that it's coming from the vantage point of like somebody that's already in a committed relationship, because I feel like your partner is under the family umbrella. But I think what it doesn't get at is, you know, we're very young, we're not married.
No, we're
and
not.
So yeah. I feel like in some ways, like a relationship element is also added into this for us as well. So there's more so.
But that's in there, right?
Well,
love and relationship?
No, it's not.
It's work, sleep, family, fitness, or friends.
Right. Oh, yeah, you're associating that.
That's why I was like kind of confused by the list. I was like, oh, that's weird. There's no relationship in there.
Exactly. And I think that it's because I think that it's definitely different when you're dealing with a spouse versus a boyfriend or girlfriend.
Yeah.
I don't think that a boyfriend or girlfriend is, I mean, depending on who they are, like, is going to tolerate you being that distant, you know?
Yeah, it's like, because it's two different things. It's like, I gotta hang out with my brother or something, then I gotta hang out with the girlfriend on a separate day. Like,
and then
it's
gotta
not
hang
like,
out with the friends.
Like. Yeah, it's like, it's not like I can't take them all to, you know, the zoo and eat ice cream with them. Like, it's just that it's gonna be two separate occasions, which is the case. I've dealt with this as well. I think there is some validating points in that. I tend to believe it. I am at a point where I'm like, oh, wait, I live in L.A. and I need to network and stuff. So that's like an additional, oh, let's get drinks at this point. Like, I remember my ex was getting, like, pissed at me because, like, I would go make time with friends that I don't normally see because they might work somewhere else or they may be over there or whatever here. So I make the time to get the drinks and then continue to have that relationship with people. So in order to do that, you got to make the time for them, and it's kind of a play into networking as well, especially in this industry. So
yeah.
If I'm super busy staying up late, not being able to, like, you know, cuddle and do stuff with her, she then is going to naturally get upset because I'm taking time to go get dinner with a friend, which isn't like a romantic thing. So there's only so many hours in the day, I think. So there's this constant back and forth of your time, and it takes like a mastermind to create that schedule where everyone's happy, or at least maybe your friends will be a little more forgiving, but it's the case where, like, you know, you need to have those relationships in order to thrive in a way.
Well, I think your friends will be more forgiving if they're like-minded, career-driven people. I think it's right. Much harder when your friends are just kind of like, you know, they're the type that want to go out to the bar at the end of the night and, like, just kind of like...
Yeah.
What is that?
Why do you snatch it so quickly?
Because I'm like, I don't know what I wrote. Like, I don't want you...
Karma Sutra? Your erotica on there?
You make her memoirs.
Unsolved fan fiction.
Yeah, it's like, written on a daily reminder sheet.
But yeah, I definitely think it depends on the type of friends that you do have. But I do think that Ryan brings up a good point in that... there is that split of, like, things that you can control versus things that other people kind of control, and that can really make things very difficult because you have to, it's a lot of, like, balancing schedules. It's a balancing act. And so I feel like depending on the type of person that you are, if you're someone that's very much, like I know I'm someone that's very much about, all right, like, I know how to compartmentalize my time, mm-hmm. but it's really hard to, especially when you have other people whose schedules might be all over the place and stuff like that. And so, like, if I set up a meeting with you or a time for us to hang out, it's really important to me that we stick to that. And if your friend doesn't have the same agency or understand the same stuff, then, like, it just gets really frustrating, and then, like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Eli's kind of said something without saying... he was saying, like, you would have to be a mastermind to have the perfect schedule and everybody's happy. I feel like, actually, in that scenario, that's possible. It's just the person that's not going to be happy is probably you.
That's so true. That's very true.
And also... I don't know. I think, like, whether it's a romantic relationship or your friends or your family, I think if they're really truly supportive, they'll understand. And also, there's, like, a way to still, you know, give them time even if you're not in the same room with them. Like, if you're out on, like, a trip or, like, even networking or, you know, shooting, you could still talk to them throughout the day to make them feel like, you know, you're there. But I do, like, think in my case, I'm lucky enough to have surrounded myself with a bunch of people that I've, like, known for, each one of them I've known for almost, like, you know, 10, 15 years. We've been friends in that tight since, like, middle school and high school. So we've always kind of just had, like, this group mentality of, like, you know, no matter what happens, we're going to stick together kind of thing. And that's the thing with my family. I'm really tight with my family, too. So I think, like, it also is just a matter of who you're surrounding yourself with. And if they're getting a little upset, then maybe you got to ask yourself if you should be around them.
Well, see, and that's where I think the relationship element of it is interesting, because it's like, again, a spouse is more like they've married you, so they're going to be with you through thick and thin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't know about all that. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
For the most
make
part.
Make them happy. So. That's
I true. Mean, yeah. Again,
sometimes
for the
people get sad.
For the most part, this person has agreed to marry you and to ride out the bumps with you. Versus, like, I think that what makes this difficult is that in a relationship, some people might not feel the same investment. And so then it becomes hard because it kind of goes back to that question that we had in episode 2, where it was like, you know, can you... What was episode 2?
Career versus relationships.
Career versus relationships. Yeah. And how... can you be in a relationship with someone while going after the thing that you want? Like, especially if that person is someone that is of more of a 9-to-5 energy, like, are they going to value the same kind of investment? And so then it just kind of gets hard because you're like, well, I do really care about this person, but, like, is this person really going to be in it for the long haul? Like, I don't know. And then it's scary if I do decide to choose them and then they're not. And then it's like, well.
I think ideally you don't have to choose either, right? I mean, like, I feel like the circumstances will make themselves the decision themselves. I just feel like if they don't support it, and don't understand that you still love them, then you shouldn't be with them.
Yeah. I mean, I agree, too, to that effect. But I guess thinking about... Because, I mean, I guess you could choose... So you get three things. Like, what do you guys think your three things would be?
So I would say the career, family, and health. Health or sleep? Sleep's important. Whereas health, I don't know. Health kind of falls in line of that. Like, I'd rather sleep and then just make sure I have a clean diet. Like, to sustain the not being able to work out or something. I don't know. But I'm always going to pick a career over those other things. At least for me. That's my thing. So that's kind of the basis is work. And family is going to be number one. Because that's your blood that's important.
Well, now I'm curious. So why don't everybody pick their three and then try and rank the three, which is the most important to you right now. So, all right. So your three are work, sleep, and family. Brian, what's your three?
I would say work, family, friends.
Work, family, friends.
And then my other three would be LeBron, Kobe.
I knew it. When are we going to get
Magic
into
Magic Johnson. Those are probably the three greatest Lakers of all time. LeBron, Kobe.
You say LeBron Johnson. Now? Yeah,
he's. I'm all on board.
Fully claimed.
Oh man, I don't. You know, once you put on that golden armor, the past goes away. You're now welcome to the family.
The past goes away.
Yeah, I'm making
so dinner. Ready to get those rings. God. That's I don't care who it is.
What were we saying here again?
All right. So as far as my three go, I think fitness is definitely up there for sure. Just because I think that I've found that with. Being more health oriented, it's actually helped improve my ability to do my work. Mm-hmm. So that's really important to me. And then, dang, this is hard. I mean, it's hard because I feel like I'm really bad at all the last three. Like I'm not really that great at sleeping when I'm supposed to. My friends all understand that I'm really hustling right now, so, mm-hmm. you know, like, that's a nice thing, so I don't necessarily feel a ton of pressure there. And then, you know what, I think it's work, fitness, and family. I think my family in the last couple of years has become, I mean, my family's always been important to me, but there's something about, and maybe it's because my aunt just had twins, I just kind of feel like my family is much more of a big center to me right now. So yeah, I think for me it would be work, fitness, and family.
That makes sense.
I feel that. I feel like family is so important, especially as you get older. I mean, you're in an interesting position because your family and friends are here. Like they're
all
like
here.
Close.
That's probably why those matter so much to me. Like I think if you cut either one of those out, I'd be done.
Yeah, that makes total sense, and it makes it a little easier, where in the sense that you don't have to establish yourself. As, say, someone who moved from middle of nowhere that knows nothing.
Oh, I'd probably be a fucking weirdo. I wouldn't talk to anybody.
Yeah, it's rough because it takes work to sustain the relationship with your family and trying to find friends and sustain those relationships. Like, I'm planning a trip to Colorado for my aunt's birthday, and then they came to Vegas, and then every 6 months is this or that. So, like, I have to make the time to do that, or I literally won't see them for a year.
You're going to Vegas with your aunt?
I went to Vegas with my aunt. My aunt's like 2 years older than me. So it's really weird. Yeah, we went to middle school together. It was strange. But yeah, you always hear like people in the industry, isn't that like some crazy like 80% divorce rate or something? Like people in Hollywood. And then like you always see those, Defiant Ones? I remember seeing Defiant Ones. It was Dr. Dre and the other guy.
Oh, Jimmy.
Jimmy Iovine.
Yeah.
Jimmy Iovine, and yeah, you know, he had his wives, but one wife said how he was trying to get the deals done, and he was in a bathroom, and he never got out of his bathroom for like over a month or something, His wife just recollected stories of like, I would just leave the plate of food in front of the bathroom door because he was just on his phone. And I didn't see him. I never saw him for months. Mind you, Jimmy also was cutting checks and probably hooked her up with a really nice house and a very nice life, but so is that. But, I mean, I think it's part of the game. And you are kind of a weirdo and a crazy person and a little fucking strange if you get to that point. Because you got to sacrifice a lot of shit.
You got to sacrifice a lot of yourself.
I don't know if that's necessarily being a weirdo. Like, I mean, I think that if you find something that means that much to you, like, I think that that's a really beautiful thing.
No, I feel that.
That's true. I mean, I definitely get, if I'm a career or relationship person, I'm definitely relationship, I would say.
Mm.
I guess it's because I figured out that I don't get fulfillment from my any like success or career. I do get fulfillment from my relationships.
Interesting.
So like, I'm not happy unless I have those, and it doesn't matter what I have. If I don't have those, I'm not gonna be a happy person.
Mm.
Wow.
Because at the end of the day, like, are you really gonna give a shit if you have a fucking Oscar or something when you're on your deathbed and there's no one there to share it with? Like,
aww, it's like, Ryan.
Yes. No, it's yes, I will.
I wouldn't be like, who the fuck cares? Like no one. Like, yeah, you have a legacy with the rest of the world. A bunch of people that think they know you, but like, to me, a real legacy is like having a bunch of people carrying on for you that do know you. Have you seen Coco? You know?
Yeah, I did. I love Coco. Oh my movie. God.
Yeah. I think that's kind of where it stands for me. And like, I lucked out where I'm like working in a field where I can be passionate about it, but it's, I still have enough left for the other stuff.
Mm. Mm.
Because that's if I true. Didn't have enough left for the other stuff, I probably wouldn't have that good of a career and I'd be fine with it.
That's real. I feel like that, because my sense is that's why family's up there, where career versus relationship, but I choose career for my family. So, like, I...
Yeah, it's a catch-22, right? Yeah.
Yeah. My thing is, you're building your family through this relationship. I am not... I don't see it in that way where, like, I am creating this life through my career for my family that's already around me. I'm not seeing that as, like, this relationship is important. Like, I feel like there's still like that same vein of like care of what life is really for and what it's like. Is like, it's not about the Oscar, it's about, you know, creating a life for others. Like, I want to give opportunities for other people and have that rich life through my family, and that's always going to be something that's there, where my stretch is finding that, seeing that relationship as a part of that, where, you know, that's just a distraction from that, my why, which is that family aspect, which
yeah.
is where that is for me. So it's interesting to hear your viewpoints on that.
I mean, like, I have, like, if I look at careers of people that I admire, like, I always think about Rick Moranis, where he was like, you know who Rick Moranis is? He was in Ghostbusters, Honey, I Shrunk the Audience.
Yeah.
Or not the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, sorry. Honey, I Shrunk the Audience is the attraction that resulted from Honey, Amazing I Shrunk ride. The Kids. Amazing show, good
Amazing show.
You can see it, so I don't know why I'm plugging it. anyways. Yeah, he was on the top of the comedy world for a minute. He was getting offers all over the place, and
the
then
camera.
It's a card. Oh, okay. Out anyway, so
whatever. And then he just bounced. He left Hollywood just so he could be a dad, because he had made enough money that I could now provide for the rest of their life. And that to me, I actually is something I would do. Because, like, if
That's
I
real.
Got to a point where, like, I had enough, I'd be like, yeah, what's the fucking point of doing all this other stuff when, like, all the things I've been working for is to be able to, like, have this family.
And I think that that's kind of where I see it from. Like, I feel like I see it in a little bit.
End game, long game, right?
Both of y'all, where is that, like, I want to leave a legacy that allows others to have opportunity to know that, like, they can do the same things that I did. But at the same time, like, also, like you said, like, the minute that I can make enough to where, like, I feel like I can support my family for, like, ever, like, I'm out. I'm good. Like, I'm not. I don't necessarily want to be in it for the vanity part of it, but more so of the just being able to make a difference. Like, I see it very much as, like, a job. Like, I'm not...
Yeah.
I think it's hard because the industry that we all work in is very, like, vanity-oriented, and I often go through the struggle of, like, I just want to make good work. I don't necessarily want to be out here, you know... posting stuff all the time and doing that kind of stuff. Like, I really just want to be able to make work that people value and that has timeless value and stuff like that. So I feel like that's what drives me, is knowing that there is a purpose to the work that I'm making and that it inspires people to make their own work. But then after that, like, you know, I don't think that I would get fulfillment from just making something just because...
I agree with you when it's just a job.
Yeah.
Yeah. That why is what's pushing you. That's the why that's bigger than you, and that's what's going to get you to where you need to be. That you know, it's not all vanity. It's not all that. There's a reason behind that. What's the driving force? But I feel like I would get bored. I don't know. Like, I feel like I would. I want to say yes. I got enough money. I'm gonna then, you know, I'm out. I can be out. that's a goal of mine, and I could take care of my family, and that's dope. But, I mean, I feel like good on Rick to be like, you know what, I'm good. I'm just going to, you know, lay low.
Yeah.
Where I feel like a lot of people, it's going to be that boxer that wants to just how do you say the high of doing what you've been doing since the beginning.
Well, I do think it's interesting, too, because I feel like for guys, like, the minute that they're done, like, it can be seen as, like, it's so nice that, like, he took time out to, like, go be the dad and go run his family and go do that thing. Whereas I think sometimes for women, like, you see women who've left to go parent, and then maybe they want to come back, and it's like, oh, man, like, this old has-been is, like, trying to come back, or, like, you know, I think it's interesting that, like, whenever women try to, it's, like, a natural thing, especially, like, if you are someone that is bearing mm-hmm. the child, to where, like, you kind of have to depart for a little bit, but then let's say you do want to come back, there's a lot of, like, I don't know if she can, like, I don't know yeah. if she, yeah.
I was actually going to say the other person whose career I enjoy is Jessica Alba.
Yeah, I really Jessica admire Alba's Jessica Alba.
What is she
Alba.
Doing?
She's, first off, she made what she needed to do in movies, and then she had kids, and then she, like a fucking boss,
mm-hmm.
formed Honest Company,
mm-hmm.
and is running that shit while being a mom. That kind of takes a big-ass shit all over on that article. I feel like she did all of them.
Interesting. Maybe,
then again, I guess.
Well, we don't know if she got sleep or not while she was doing it.
Eh, who needs sleep? I mean, like, you know what? I mean, like.
Or her relationship with her family.
Yeah, I'm sure she's got that. Yeah. You know, maybe the moral of that story is not everyone's Jessica Alba, but.
that's what it is.
I think it also just comes down to what your actual goal. I'm a weird dude, so my goal has always been. Maybe it's because I have such a good relationship with my dad.
Mm.
My goal has always been to be. Like a dad. I don't know. That sounds fucking weird.
I don't think that's weird.
That's kind of weird.
It's a little weird. I mean, like, so, like, me.
To be a dad? Like, I don't
know. Like, that's your driving goal. Like, you.
It's going to. What's going to bring
no,
me the
what is
ultimate.
Weird
like,
about
I'm
going to
be the dude that probably cries mean. When he has a baby. But, like, the thing is, like,
This is toxic masculinity at work.
Everything I'm working towards is just so I could get to that. So, like,
I think that's a beautiful thing.
Like, I'm going to be insufferable as a dad. Like, I'm going to take, like, pictures every second. Like, I'm going to be like, check out this kid. You know, when you have the parent who's, like,
yes.
way too, like, juiced up on their kid and they have, like, 18 pictures in their wallet, and you're like, all right, buddy, wrap it up, we're at a barbecue.
That's
me. That's going to be me.
I mean, that parent can be a lot, but at the same time, like, I think that that's really refreshing to hear a guy, especially someone who's as successful as you and, like, could very easily just be like, you know, I'm going to run this unsolved train into the ground, and that your actual goal at the end of the day is just to be able to support your family enough to where, like, you can be 100% invested in your kids. Like, I don't think that's a narrative that's told very often.
No, not at all. Especially, like, you know, I'm sure your DMs are lit. So it's like, you know, it's the case where, yeah, he laughs like that. But it's the case where, yeah, if especially men get some sort of success, it's almost the opposite. It's like, oh, man, now I'm going to live. You know, now I'm really going to go for it. Why would I settle down and especially become a parent when I have success? You know, like, why?
Yeah.
It's almost like checking out. In a way,
that's also probably would be scary to date me because I'm a serial relationship. Like when I'm in a relationship, it's not like, this could be fun for a little bit. My goal is like
you're in it for the long.
This
run.
Is like, oh, we're gonna have kids and shit. So like when we're talking about later, yeah, I know it's terrifying. The person I'm with, I wouldn't want them to understand that like we're playing for the same team here. So my success is your success is my success.
Yes.
Whatever you gotta do, you gotta do. Whatever I gotta do, because at the end of the day. We're going to be together and we're going to be killing it. So, like, that's, like, my idea of a relationship.
Right, that's what I try to tell them, man.
Which is kind of terrifying.
Eli, that is not the fuck what you be trying to say.
They're going to keep complaining until they get that check, just like Jimmy Ivy. Once they get that Jimmy Ivy money, they don't got to complain about nothing. But until then, why haven't we gone to Red Lobster? Yeah. You say we're going to go Red Lobster. What's going on?
Obviously, that's easier said than done. Like, people's feelings get all tossed up and shit when, like, they're working really hard. Sometimes they lose track of who they are or what they were actually doing the shit for in the first place.
Yeah.
And that's when people get hurt, I think. It's like impossible as a human to just like stay one track minded the entire time
mm-hmm.
and not get derailed even a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, of course.
You'd have to be like a cyborg. In which case, like, I don't know why I don't want to fuck a host from Westworld. Like, that's nice to look at. But you know,
oh
I guess like
God.
You just like at the end, what's it mean?
Let's just shift the topic. Would you fuck a cyborg from Westworld?
I don't think I would. Just because like at any given point they could overpower me and, you know, like rip my dick off or this something. This is like true. That. I don't want that.
The fear. Yeah. I wouldn't want that.
And I'm not a host. That thing's gone. It's gone.
So going back to the article. So we've all picked our three things, but now how would you rank them? So what would you say is your number one, number two, and number three? Like, what are your top priorities?
Well, family's number one.
That's a real demonstrative.
Yeah. Family's number one, work's number two, and then three is either sleep or health, because you need that in order to have a life and be successful at work. That's kind of the driving. It's the fuel to get you where you need to go in anything.
That's tough. Yeah, family would be one. Oh, boy. I'm really struggling between friends, too, and work, too. Oh, man, I can't do a 2A, 2B, can I?
Nope.
Shit, that sucks.
Gotta choose.
Yeah, I guess, boy, that sucks. I guess work would be two, and then friends would be three. Yeah, that's crazy how hard that was, huh?
What feelings does it bring up in you?
It really just goes back to that weird thing I have nailed into my head. I don't know where I got it from. I may have just been born with it, where, like, I don't think success is fun unless you have someone to share it with, whether that's your friends or family. And if family isn't always going to be around, like, you can appreciate your parents while you have them now, because, not to get morbid, they dying soon. Anyways.
I mean, not that soon, but...
Hug them now, because you don't know if you'll see them tomorrow.
Yeah. Every time you see your dad, be like, I got to hug you, because you may die tomorrow. That'll make it real good. So you do want that support base outside of your family. And like I said, I've rolled around with the same gaggle of dudes for the last 15 years, some of them almost close to 20, and we've just kind of like...
I also think is a very beautiful thing that you've been able to maintain. Because I've noticed, like, especially in adulthood, that male friendships, like men having really good friends it's often a rarity. So I think that that's, like, really cool that you've maintained these relationships for, like, 20 years.
I think it's a rarity in both genders, to be honest. I mean,
it's an adult thing.
When I look at, like, a partner, like, if I'm looking for, like, you know, a girlfriend... One of the first things I'm going to look for now is I'm going to look for how many close friends that person has had and how long have they had them for. Because I think that speaks to, like, how maybe loyal you are as a person.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like most of my female friends have people that have been in their lives since childhood.
See, that's amazing. See, that's a quality that I value very highly. Because I like that myself. That's one of my biggest values. So if another person has that value, obviously we're going to be simpatico.
Yeah, but I just feel like when I look into the male specter of, like, people that I've known, like, I don't know a ton of guys that know people for that.
Yeah, long. I think I just lucked out and I found a like-minded group of dudes. I think it's hilarious that they listen to this podcast, because we never say this shit to each other.
But I know, because I don't understand why.
No, because when you tell, you know, when you love one of your guy friends, you don't be like, I love you, man. You'd be like, hey, fuck you, dude. Pass me, like, chips or something. I don't know.
Yeah, but that's pretty much
literally
it.
What Eli has said before.
That's how you communicate it.
That's how you communicate. But you understand.
Mutual respect that I would take a bullet for
it's
you.
It's like the two guys are like one tear sheds as they're eating bean dip together, because they understand what that bean dip means, you know?
Granted, me and my roommates are pretty in touch with our emotions.
There you go.
Yeah, like, I would say we talk about it out, like, every once a week, you know, a little Testimonial Tuesdays.
Aww.
Do you have an actual Testimonial
no,
Tuesday?
No, we don't, but it usually falls on a Tuesday, because that's, like, the day after Monday. You just got through the shit of one day of work. You're like, fuck, this kind of sucks. And then, like, I gotta make it through one more day, and then, like, that's when it bottles up, and then you...
I feel that.
Attack the rest of the week. But, yeah, I think, like, we've also, like, some people, I think, when they have friend groups... When other friends from, like, college or new sets of friends from work get introduced to the mix, the people could see it as, like, a threat. Whereas, like, I was lucky enough to have a group of guy friends where instead of us seeing it as a threat, we just added them to the group like a giant penis snowball falling down a hill.
Why gotta be a penis snowball?
Because it's a bunch of guys. It's just a bunch of guys. And as the snowball falls down the hill, more dicks get added to the mix. And before you know it, it's a pretty big snowball.
That's great.
The snowball's been around for 20 years. It's pretty strong.
Wow. I've just recently, probably in the last couple of years, I've had that. Where, like, I'm at a point where I'm comfortable enough to tell my guy friends how much I appreciate them and how much they mean to me.
I feel like on a past episode you have said that.
No.
What are you on blast right now?
Don't get it twisted. When I do these things, I have to explain men experience as well as my personal. Okay. So as my personal, I would say that I'm at a point where I'm making it a point to tell the people around me how much I appreciate them, and that is that male
back and forth male dynamic. Still talk shit. Don't get me wrong.
You can't.
You can't make it all fucking foo-foo, hug, kiss each other, make out. You gotta talk some shit all the time. You know?
I feel like that's a video. Like, guys be emotional with each other.
Yeah,
guys,
that's an easy video.
Dude friends just talk about how much they love each other.
I mean, if you gotta talk shit to your friends. I mean, like, people think sometimes me and Shane hate each other because we talk so much shit. That's just our dynamic. That's how guys talk to each other.
I know. That's how you guys show love. But that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like there should be a video where you guys have to, like, be frou-frou with each other.
I mean, every guy has it in them. Every guy wants to say I love you to your friend. And you know how I know that? Because once a guy gets drunk, what's the first thing he says to his guy friend? I fucking love you, man. That's because it's inside you. Uh-huh. And the alcohol is just like, get it out, man. Otherwise your head's going to explode.
Exactly.
And then tomorrow you could go back to being like a feelings hiding piece of shit.
Never happened.
Oh my god.
Work out. Not talk about this ever.
Yeah.
Man.
But yeah, it's very important. I think that's the case for what I'm trying to do now, because I only have a handful of like friends I've known for a long time. I'm not even close to 20 years. Probably the longest friendship I had was from like 7th grade.
That's a long time.
10 plus years. That's my best friend. That's one person. And then the next one is probably going on 9 from college or whatever else. So it's like I never had that. I think I was just always a loner. Mm-hmm. So I never had that like squad of dudes. Yeah. But I picked up certain people that I vibe with along the way. And they kind of been through the shit of it. Where I feel like because you've known those guys that long, you're able to be open and have that camaraderie and develop those feelings and
things. We're not telling each other we love each other every day. It's very seldom that happens. Like, use discretion, obviously. You can't just be like hey man, good morning, I love you. Like, that's fucking weird. Like, you gotta pick your spots.
Are you dying? What's wrong?
Like, you gotta feel the moment out, you know? You can't just say I love you to a guy and like it's gonna be all chill in the moment. Like, you gotta feel it out. It's gotta be warranted.
It's like, bro, we're at a Hooters right now, chill.
Yeah, or like maybe like, you know, you come downstairs and you find out, oh, he refilled the Brita this time. You know what, man? I think I might love you. That's good. That's good. You reward that behavior like a doggy treat kind of thing.
Oh, my God.
That's real.
Whereas,
that's
like, real. Girlfriend, totally the opposite. You gotta say I love you all the time.
All the damn time.
Yeah, all the time. And the times you don't want to say it, that's when you gotta say it the most.
That's true.
And that's the shittiest part about it, right?
Y'all just make me wonder why I'm attracted to dudes.
It's a thing.
I mean, it's a wonder to me, too.
The funny thing is, I feel like me and Ryan are very opposite in the sense of how we see love. And you remind me of Matt Real.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where he's very, like, I can't wait to be a dad. Like,
it's dope. Like,
and we wrote on a board what we want to do before we die, and he wrote to be a dad, and then underneath it I wrote to not be a dad. And
yeah.
It was, like, the two opposite factors. Because were your parents, like, together? Like, were they married?
They were. I think that plays into why my worldview is the way it is. My parents, they had a very good relationship. I mean, obviously, they fought. And, you know, that every now and then, no one ever doesn't fight. But my mom actually said something that was interesting to me, and I wonder if she's going to appreciate me airing this out. But you know what? She's not going to listen to this podcast. So who gives a shit?
You don't know.
Yeah. What she said was, she was, you know, when me and your dad would fight, I made this is kind of weird, to be honest. She said, I made sure you could see it and hear it because I thought it was important for you to see that our relationships aren't, you know, sunshine and rainbows. You got to work a little bit. And sometimes it might get a little ugly. And I thought that was important for you to see that. And I was like, didn't you think that might fuck me up? And she was like, you know, I never said I was 100% on it. It was definitely a shot in the dark. I think it paid off. And I was like, you know what? Maybe you're right.
That's funny.
Because I do recall seeing them like, oh, shit, are they going to fucking get a divorce? And then the next morning they'd wake up and they'd be fine. And I'd be like, all right, they've worked it out. People could fight. It's just a...
Yeah.
Anyways, that's the relationship corner with my mom.
Yeah. But I do think that adds an interesting element to it of... how I think that family and those relationships mean a lot. Because Eli and I both come from divorced parent backgrounds.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, you come from a, you know, your mom and dad are still together. And so I wonder if that kind of influences the way in which you strive for things. Obviously, family means something to all of us. But, like, you know, when I think about ranking mine... I don't know, it's tough because, like, I really enjoy doing work.
I mean, I do too, yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't, I mean, but that's the other thing is that I think that because I don't like doing work for the sake of doing work. Like, I would never pick like, it's one of those things where I think that a lot of people, when they think about work, they think about doing, like, the bullshit kind of work that people have to do sometimes, whereas, like, I have really strived my entire life to find work that doesn't feel like work. And so it's hard for me. I think that I would...
Don't strain a muscle here.
I think that for me personally, like, I really value doing work. Like, there's something about, and it, again, it's not necessarily like the vanity thing, but there's just something of, I really like doing things.
What I was saying was, it was just, I think the capacity for how hard you could work is correlated directly to what the motivation is behind that work. So, like, exactly. Whatever your motivation is, it doesn't have to be vanity. It could be, like, for me, my motivation isn't, like, my own, like, I want to be successful with the family things. Like, if my motivation was for myself, I probably wouldn't be that successful because I kind of suck, you know? It's like, I'm not the best, but like, I'm like, oh, my mom, my beautiful mom, she's great. I'll work for her. But exactly. if I'm like looking in the mirror, like, I got to work for that guy, fuck that guy. Oh my God. Sucks.
Pretty much. And it's also the added thing is that we're doing stuff that we want to do. I mean, it's one thing that people grind and then they go hard, like working at, like, you know, a Papa John's. But
yeah,
we're privileged in the sense that we made it our lives so that we can make creative work of that correlates to what our passions are and our interests. So it's another added addition of why we want to keep doing it. Like, I want to make movies forever. So it's like, it's not the case where, like, I'm like, oh, God, I got to.
No,
get
yeah.
up and write a script, I guess. Like, it's, it could get stressful, but there's that added as well. Of course you want to keep doing it. Like,
I mean, it's incredibly privileged. I mean, I think one of the biggest lies of life is that you make a living doing what you love. that's a luxury. Most people don't understand that that's actually a luxury. Like, if you make a living doing what you like, You live a pretty good life, because a lot of people don't have that luxury. Like, they just have to grind to get scrape by.
Yeah. Most definitely. Every day I check myself where it's like, oh, I got to do this, got to do that, I got to do this. And I'm like, wait a minute, okay, what do I got to do? I got to write a script. I got to record a podcast. I got to get a camera together to shoot this video. Like, I'm doing, like, pretty cool stuff. It could be a lot worse, you know? Yeah. It's like, and then you kind of got to see, like, oh, all I have to do is make things.
Yeah.
You know? And that's
So I think that's why, like, I just, like, I enjoy, because I really enjoy the work that I do. Like, work isn't necessarily, it's a grind, but it's, like, a grind that, like, intrinsically fuels me. So I feel like that's why I would probably rank work as being, like, my top thing. Also, just because I know that my family loves and is so proud of what I'm doing. So, like, I don't even necessarily think they're that offended. Like, I think it's, to them, it's like, oh, this is expected. Like, because I've just always been someone that's been doing stuff and getting stuff and stuff like that. So,
I mean, there's nothing wrong with being incredibly self-motivated. It seems like that's what you are. You're a stronger human than me. If you took away everything from you, you'd still get shit done. If you took my family and friends away from me, I'd be crawling into gutters and shit. I don't know what I would do. Like, I'm not that strong of a human, I think.
You'd be selling your pins, like, on, like, Venice Beach. Like, you'd be on Venice Beach, like, take my face, so like, get away from me, weirdo.
Well, I think the other aspect that's interesting is that, again, like, you grew up here, whereas, like, my whole, like, I haven't lived with my family for a full year since I was 13. Like,
that's badass.
It's crazy.
Thank you. But yeah, I went to boarding school and then I came out to California for college. So I think that's probably what, like, I think that my, like, literally since I've been 13, like, my life has been about, like, making sure that, like, I go into these spaces and I do what I need to do and I do my work and I work hard. So, like, I feel like that's partially, like, I think I'm just kind of used to my family being important to me, but not necessarily the center. Mm-hmm. But I do feel like in some avenue, and that's something that I constantly have to balance, is that because I come from an immigrant background. And so, like, I was actually on a panel talking about this, how, like, you know, growing up, I felt like there was a big pressure for me to need to provide and give back because my family invested so much in, like, coming here as immigrants and trying to give opportunities for us. And so I feel like in some ways that also motivates me as to why I work so hard, is because, like, in a way, like, I want, you know, my parents to feel like what they gave up for me actually had a purpose.
Yeah, for sure. And a crazy thought, hey, you don't have to do three for the rest of your life. You could switch them around. It makes you feel like there's this inadequacy of your life of being lopsided, then you could. If I have to live a lopsided life, I will do so in different sides of that coin. So like, yeah, it doesn't have to be all one thing forever. You're not making this like lifelong decision through life, like you were saying, right, in some capacity where it's like you change and you develop and you become a new person and different things like that. But so, yeah, if you see that, wow, I have not been nurturing my relationships with the people that I know, maybe I should make that now my number three. Went back when it was my number five. Let's just switch it up to keep consistently try to keep all those things of your life afloat. Like, it's almost like a video game where, like, one thing is lowering after a while, and you shift gears and invest with that up. And
I like that, because I think that's where I'm at right now. Like, I'm working very, very hard so that eventually, I think eventually the end goal is for me to clock out kind of like you and to put my family and my relationships a lot higher. But it's like, so it's like, I think for me, it's like, I do, there are things that I want to achieve, but it's with the end goal of knowing that, like, I'm going to clock out. So I'd rather work my hardest right now and put that first so that eventually I can, like, cash out on it and be done with it.
Yeah, retire at 35 so you can just hang out with your mom all you want.
I will say that, yeah, there isn't a big asterisk on that. Like, for me to have that and be Rick Moranis, that would be fucking incredible.
I don't feel like you have, like, a Rick Moranis poster in your room.
Yeah,
like,
I don't. He's the ideal guy. Or, you know, just, like, be Jessica like, obviously, that'd be,
Jessica Alba.
That'd be incredible.
Oh, my God. She killed
it. The odds of that happening are very slim. Like, if I could do that by, like, 50 or so that'd be pretty sweet. That and even that's like a lofty goal, I feel like. But right. I mean, like, I think what you were saying, like, you'd switch throughout life. Everything's balancing. You're just trying to balance. Maybe you're not even consciously focusing on one more than the other. You're just trying to figure it out as you go, balancing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a big Thanos fan. I think you got it right. Perfectly balanced.
Yeah, I think it's like, well, I think it's lopsided. You're consistently living a lopsided life, but...
But you're chasing balance.
You're chasing the balance, but it's like, you're never... Not everything is always going to be equally, like, taken care of, but you're not disregarding one thing. You're consistently living a lopsided life, but making sure everyone is taken care of, I guess, in a way.
Everything's in moderation.
In moderation, just like chocolate cake.
Taco Bell. I love the cheesy gordita crunch. That's my favorite. That's the best fast food item ever created. And I mean, I don't have any real arguments for that, but I just know it is. Like, it's just a concerto of flavor dancing around in your tongue. Mm-mm. Anyways, I ate that every day, I would probably die by next year. So, like, I can't do that, so I gotta moderate it. And that's kind of just with everything. I'm not saying, like, hanging out with my best friend every day is gonna kill me. It might. I don't know.
Be asked, like, hey, let's go to Taco Bell.
No, but then you won't get things done that you need.
You won't get things done. So inherently, it would kill me. So, in a way, my best friend, what I'm trying to get at is my best friend is a cheesy gordita crunch. That's really what I'm trying to get. I was looping it all back to that.
So we close out every episode playing a game called Scroll, Double Tap, or DM. And so how it works is
Jesus Christ.
What?
Okay, yeah, keep going.
Thank you. So how it works is I will give you three people or things, and you have to decide if you would scroll past it, if you would double tap it, or if you would DM it. And when it comes to the DMs, so it doesn't have to be sexual, but you can take it as sexual as you want to. It could be, you know, I want to slide into those DMs to get to know you a little bit more, your thoughts about
I'm not
things,
much of a slider, I'm more of a stumbler. Stumbling the DMs.
Stumbling in them. Oops, sorry.
Oops. Oh, I don't know how I got in here, but now that I'm here, I guess we could talk. I don't know.
Oh, my Lord. Okay. So I figured since that one was an article that was kind of geared towards entrepreneurs, and entrepreneurs are career-driven people, we're career-driven people, that it would be entrepreneurial-themed. So we have Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, and Mark Zuckerberg.
Oh, man.
God, that's rough.
That's a hard one.
Well, I'm going to probably go...
What was that?
Actually, no, it's pretty easy. I think I know off the bat. I'm just going to jump in it. So, Jeff, I'm going to have to slide past Jeff. I hear a lot of bad things.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'm going to scroll Jeff, too.
Really?
Real big asshole, that guy.
Also, he kind of like his warehouses are an inendurable hellscape.
Yeah, I don't... I respect all those people from what they did, because there's this photo of what Amazon looked like back in like the 90s or something, and it was like a shithole like office space. Mm-hmm. So I mean, I love all these guys. I want to read their books and pick their brains. But Jeff, I gotta scroll past. I'm sorry, man, because I would love to DM Elon Musk. He recently came out with some problems though, But I think he spent, like, I think he like gave like 40 G's to like to keep Republicans in office or something, some like super PAC or whatever else.
Oh shit!
I don't know. And then I don't know. I think he like said some weird stuff about someone. I don't know. I feel like he just wants to be the only one that saves the world. But as far as someone I want to wake up to and have postcoital conversations, it's gonna be Elon Musk, because I feel like Mark Zuckerberg's gonna be a big old weirdo that's like terrible in bed, and I feel like Elon would be a little more interesting. Yeah. I don't know, in my opinion. So I'll double tap Mark, just for the sake of Facebook and how big of a deal it is.
When you say double tap, are we talking about just the like on
yes,
Instagram,
just
or are
the
we talking
like.
About yeah. banging him twice?
Okay. Oh my
banging
God.
Him twice. I'll bang Elon twice. So
yeah,
I'm definitely banging Elon Musk and talking about space and stuff while we're both naked, mild sweat on our chests.
That's
and
incredibly vivid. Thank yes. you for that.
Think about that
I can
on
tell
your drive
you thought
home.
About this
I'd
yeah.
rather not, but I have no other choice.
No other choice. Glistening with the moonlight.
Yeah.
And then double tap with Mark Zuckerberg and scroll past Jeff.
All right, Ryan, what's yours? And no, double tap is not banging them twice.
Well, it I mean, is... I wouldn't want to bang Zuckerberg once. that's a job I don't want to have.
Okay.
All right. Bezos are probably going to slide past. Do you know he's the most rich man by, I think, like $50 billion or something like that?
That's crazy.
Which
that
is like the next closest guy. For I'm condoning him being an ass, because I think he might be, right? I just think it's unhealthy for a human to ever be able to have that much money. There should be a cutoff
it's
at
insane.
Like a billion.
I know.
Because well, after that, nothing good could happen.
Well, it's also like, I mean, how do you even fathom having that much money? Like,
it's just, yeah, you lose your concept of reality, and then of course you're going to lose your concept of what it means to be a human. It's impossible.
It's crazy. Yeah. No, we're the same DNA that we were 2,000 years ago, and like, we're just, I don't know, it's just crazy to be like, oh, I have you hacked life. In a way,
yeah.
it's strange.
You could get floor seats for the Lakers every day. Every day.
Well, that's where you went. Like, yes. You could literally do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Wow.
Eat endless
I also think
popcorn.
It's, oh my God. I also think it's interesting that, like, you know, he created this off of, like, Amazon was a bookseller.
Yeah.
Like, it started from selling books, and now it's this thing that has, like, globally impacted everyone. Like, everybody uses Amazon.
And it changes how we interact with the world. I could order groceries while I'm taking a dump.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have to leave my house. Ever.
That's true.
Because of him. So inherently, maybe I should write him a thank you card.
Maybe.
Because I do enjoy doing shopping while I'm dumping.
So is that saying that you're not...
Oh, I'm definitely going to scroll him still. But, you know, back to the question, I guess. Oh, man, that's tough. I guess I'd like Zuckerberg, too, just because I'm not that interested in talking to him. I just feel like he'd be pretty tough to talk to. Elon Musk, I feel like, could carry a conversation. Also, I could talk to him about, since he likes to fix problems, maybe he could fix the parking problem around my apartment, because it's a fucking nightmare. It's just a cluttered hellscape of just cars everywhere. There's people parking in my driveway sometimes. It's fucked up. I need Elon to fix that.
I'm sure he'll figure out a way. He'll do, like, some Futurama, like, flying yeah. tube system that, you know.
My favorite Elon story is the fact that he went to that cave and dropped off his little invention, and he was like, I've come here to save you all, here's the invention that's gonna do it. And they were all like, fuck off, man, we don't need it. And he was like, really, you sure? And they were like, yeah.
You
we
mean
don't.
The Thai cave?
Yeah, do you hear about this?
He
had like an invention that he made so that they could get out of the caves, and he brought it there, and they were like, we don't need that, man. And he was like, come on, you need this, are you sure you need this? And they were like, no, dude, we're busy. Can you leave us alone? He was like, all right, well, I'm gonna leave it here, though. I'm gonna leave it right here in case you change your mind. And they're like, not gonna happen, but go ahead, you can take it with you. And he's like, no, I'll leave it here. And that's, I just wish I could have seen that interaction, because how many times has that guy's had no said to him in his entire life?
Oh,
probably a lot.
God.
He also took suggestions to play music in the device. Like, someone tweeted at him, was like, you should be able to play music in the device when it saves them. And he's like, yeah, it's a good idea. I'm working on it right now.
Wow.
So like, he was like, really took it seriously.
Wow. Okay, so wait, what is your combination?
I would scroll Bezos, I would double tap Zuckerberg, and I would, I guess I would DM Elon.
He's hot.
Okay. He just knows cars, man. And I gotta fix that parking situation.
Oh my God. I would say for me, man, I didn't realize that, because I was going to say, I read this really interesting article that Bezos had said about work-life balance that I really liked, and how it's not necessarily a scale, but it's like a circle, and...
Oh, shit. That's some Westworld shit right there.
but how both should intrinsically feed into each other so that it then doesn't feel like you're trying to fight to have both. And I thought that was pretty deep. I like, and it's hard because I feel like the only person that I've kind of read more about is Zuckerberg. But I didn't know that he was like, I mean, it also doesn't surprise me. I think anyone after you've reached $1 billion at a certain point, like, you know, do you even really have to have decency anymore?
Yeah, I'd be an asshole. I mean, I probably would.
Oh, I'm very aware.
I probably would.
You don't even need $1 million to do that.
Okay, relax.
I'm still laughing at the work-life balance is a circle thing. I can't imagine someone saying that without hitting a massive bong right after. Like, you know, fucking life is like work-life balance. It's really just a circle. You know what I mean?
I know, I totally see him in the That 70s Show basement.
And everyone's like, dude, bro, you're fucking right. He's like a Nolan brother.
There you go.
Maybe he's not that bad of a guy. Maybe we sold him short, Eli. Like, I feel...
Maybe, I don't know.
I just know the actual warehouses are just filled with excruciating sadness.
I can't say that I know the story, like, oh, this is the story I heard. I just hear things. I hear things, and he's an asshole. But to be that rich... I'll be shocked if you're a nice guy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Which I think is just terrible how money basically is, like, you know, the gateway to, like, yeah, like, you're an asshole, but still take it.
But it's the case of, like, how do I have to act to get there? Like, what do I have to be? And also you got to think about how much pressure is on him or how many people are trying to talk to him or how many all these other things.
True.
So it's probably the case where you just naturally have this shell of assholeness.
Also, it's just condoned because people love Amazon. Like, it's not like we're some social justice warrior here. I'm going to pretend like I don't use Amazon. I have a Prime membership.
No, of course.
Fucking fantastic.
But see, that's the thing is that, like, I just hate how there's a certain point where people are just like, well, whatever, I'll just take his assholiness, like, because he gave me Amazon. Like,
2-day shipping is pretty fucking sweet.
Kinda.
Free one day sometimes if you're in the right product.
Oh my goodness.
Can you believe that? That's crazy. I could order in the morning. It'll be there at night. I had to do no work.
That's wild. Yeah. So yeah, you could be an asshole to me. Cut me off anytime, Jeff. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Pretty soon he's going to start dropping shit with drones. That's going to be fucking wild.
Oh man, it's going to be nuts.
All right. So as far as my combination goes, I think I would actually prefer to DM Mark Zuckerberg just because, like...
Interesting.
I was reading this article and I never realized that he was doing this, but he's very much like, you know, either you're going to sell to me or I'm going to take you out. But Jesus like, he's Christ. Been really good at doing it. And I obviously, like, I wouldn't want to be that ruthless, but I am just very curious about how, especially he made that transition of just being a kid that dropped out of Harvard to now, like, running this, like, globally impacting company. And, like, he didn't necessarily have the resources to step into that, but, like, he's still running it and he's taken it to this next level. Whereas I think, you know, somewhere like Snapchat, I think that their founders are really kind of struggling with, like, how to lead this company because they didn't have that background. So I think that it's really fascinating to see that there's somebody who, like, you know, could take something that he wasn't necessarily equipped to do, but then has now led it into this huge global impacting company.
To be devil's advocate, though, maybe he was perfectly suited to be CEO. Mm. If you're a coder and you see everything as code, it's easy to be ruthless. Like, it's almost like, I don't know if that's like a necessary part to be a CEO. But maybe I don't think that highly CEOs. No, like to be more of a human.
Oh,
because like if you just see everything as numbers, it's like that's a number, that person's a number. Yeah, they're gone. You know, it's like I could see it.
I think in a way you have to be.
Facebook is a very like relationship oriented company, you know. Yeah. So I think you know he is in touch with his feelings to a degree, but like in business, like it's a balance of like your emotions and the numbers and stuff like that. So
or he surrounded himself with people who do understand that.
Mm,
yes,
maybe.
There's that too.
Maybe.
Which even to that is pretty smart. But like, I would say I would be more interested in DMing him and picking his brain on like running something like that. I think this is where it gets hard because I feel like I don't know a ton about Jeff or Elon, but like I know a little bit more about Jeff than I do about Elon Musk. So just because I'm not a cars person, but I do hear about him a lot in the news, and especially with him like wanting to like make the world a better place through inventions and stuff like that, which I do think is very admirable.
Do you text Jeff and Elon often?
I just said I don't.
it's just weird to hear you say their names so like casually. Like, oh, I know Jeff and Elon.
Oh, me and Jeff.
We get around into the house, we play dick match.
Am I supposed to say? I mean, that's their names, right?
You call him Mr. Musk.
Anyway, I don't really know for the. I guess because you guys keep saying that, I don't. No.
You're still choosing? I thought you were done already.
No, I haven't, because it's the scrolling and the scrolling and the double tap that I'm having a hard time with. I think...
Once again, I'm going to say I'm not positive that Bezos may be a bad person. I only know that the factories are not that great.
I heard things, and I heard those weren't good things.
And that's all I'm going to lay my cards down.
Yeah, I'm laying my cards down.
He could be
a
lovely
things.
Man, and we're just shitting on him right hard, like so hard right now.
I'm pretty sure I heard some things.
I think just because I use Amazon more and that he had that really cool article, I'm actually going to double tap Jeff Bezos and then I'll scroll past Elon Musk. But it's only because I really don't know a ton about him.
But he almost saved those kids from that cave.
Yeah, but apparently it wasn't that useful because they said we don't fucking need this.
You're wasting our time, man. We don't have a lot of time. We don't need you to explain your gadget. Just seeing him so sad walk away with the Peanuts theme playing.
Oh my God.
That's what saved the world. Dun, dun.
All right, Ryan, so it was pretty fun having you on the couch.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
Yeah, it was pretty fun.
It could have been fun, all right, but there was something there that prevented
I just
it.
Can't win. Y'all just both love to come for me, and it's, like, ridiculous. And that's why,
to be fair, you just said it was pretty fun.
Yeah, you did it to yourself.
Yeah.
What? It was pretty fun.
It was lukewarm.
I really got
that. Did you not have fun on the couch?
I mean, I had fun, but apparently you just had... A little pretty fun.
Pretty
semantics bullshit. Anyway, so I can't. It was okay having you on the couch.
Now you're honest at least. You know, I appreciate that.
I loved it.
Of course you loved it.
It was fantastic.
I really enjoyed talking to you, Eli.
Really enjoyed.
It was really fun. Eli.
Anyway, I gave you this beautiful welcome, and then you want to do that, whatever. But anyway, so it. We enjoyed having you on the couch. We enjoyed having you on the couch. And where can people find you in these internet streets?
Oh, is that what we're doing here?
Yeah.
I guess the BuzzFeed Unsolved Network on YouTube. I didn't. And then my socials are at Ryan S. Bergara on Twitter and at Ryan Bergara on Instagram. I think that's it. I don't think you should know where else you could find me. I'm not giving my home address.
Oh my God.
My mailing address is this.
Well, we said the internet streets, not your actual streets.
It's hard to tell the difference nowadays.
Really, is that so?
Well, thank you, Ryan. Thank you for the time, and we'll see you all next week.